Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download Stand Well Back. Listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hello and thanks for downloading Outspoken, the podcast that brings you the very best of our daily talk sport show. Arsenal Invincible, Martin Keown, join myself and Simon Jordan for a heated debate in the studio as Virgil van Dijk blamed too many games for his injury and form this season. Martin Keown, Arsenal Invincible, Martin Keown is with us this morning. Nottingham Forest, Martin, the new boys back in the Premier League, of course, under Steve Cooper, and they had it tough to start with. Does it surprise you now that you hear this morning that many top clubs could well be interested in the talent of Steve Cooper once this season is over? Because Forest reportedly facing a fight to keep Cooper at the club ahead of next season. Number of managerial jobs set to come up by the end of the season. Cooper, we hear, already being identified by clubs as a target. Brighton might be on the lookout for a new boss with big interest in De Zerbi. Tottenham, we don't know what's going to happen at Tottenham. We certainly don't know what's going to happen at Chelsea, West Ham, Southampton, or Leeds. So Cooper, Martin, is very much in the spotlight. Does that surprise you?
It does surprise me. I think we were talking earlier, weren't we, about topics. You've asked me to do a list of topics that we should concentrate today when I questioned maybe was this worthy of a topic. I just feel that Steve Cooper needs to concentrate on what's important, that's keeping Forest up. Any talk of going to another club to take on something else is premature discussion, Jim. There's enough work to do this season. It's interesting, I looked at the first 12 games.
It's relevant discussion, though, you'd have to say that, because
it's only relevant if they stay up.
He is very much in the conversation at other clubs.
Well, they've lost two of the last three games. They started the season. After 12 games, they only had 8 points. So it was really difficult. They went away. He worked with the team, lots of players. World Cup, after the World Cup, Jim, they've done all right. 9 games, 12 points. So it's a big improvement. But now it's starting to slip a little bit again. So it's this merry-go-round of managers. I mean, De Zerbi is another one, isn't he, at Brighton, doing an incredible job. Is it the good work, though, of Potter that he had in place for many years? So we need to give these managers time. But I think
and Steve, that's what Forrest have done, isn't it?
They've done.
They've extended his contract.
Well, it was unbelievable. They gave him a contract at that point, because at that point, I think they only had one win from the first 6 games of the season. So everyone was kind of bemused at why that happened, but it was a very good move. I think really some loyalty will be apparent. I don't see that Steve Cooper will be leaving Forrest anytime soon, Jim. And I feel it's only just speculation.
Well, it is speculation, but the speculation's real, Simon, because he's caught the eye. Chris Herring, a friend of mine who's a big Forest fan, just getting in touch. Jim, we know about it. Hands off Steve Cooper. They're aware of it.
Well, I mean, Martin's right to suggest that there should be some reciprocation in terms of the loyalty. I do think it was right for Nottingham Forest to have given him a new contract because, quite frankly, he dragged them out of a division after 23 years of being away from the Premier League. He took them from where Chris Hughton had left them, which was bottom of the Championship, put them into the Premier League. Something similar to what Ian Dowie did, but I don't think it was as divisive and difficult to work with as Ian Dowie was. So he deserved the opportunity that he'd got to be in the Premier League. He came in with this backdrop of an irresponsible owner being this is what was put out there, buying players left, right and centre, which he wasn't involved in, and all of that. And I think if you know your manager and you believe in your manager, when a moment comes when the conventional thinking in football says, oh, you're in trouble, and you do something different, what you then do is you galvanise that manager. You make him more appreciative of the environment he is, and he goes the extra 10%. Now, that may well have already been coming. It may well have already been forthcoming anyway, but you do something against the norm, and then you get something back. Now, is he a potential manager for the future? Yeah. But I don't think he needs to need... I don't think he, in terms of bigger football clubs, I don't think he needs to leave Nottingham Forest anytime soon. Because, first of all, the guy that owns the football club is remarkably committed. He's just converted another 50 million quid's worth of loans into equity, which is the same thing in different guys, but notwithstanding it, it shows an indication that he's more committed to the football club than wanting to get paid out by selling it. The guy's already told everybody, told you, in a very emotive outburst after winning the playoff final against Huddersfield, I want to win things with this football club. That's the owner. So he's laid his little stake down.
Yeah.
So now you've got a situation where he's gone and spent an inordinate amount of money to get into the Premier League in terms of staying in the Premier League with 23, 24 players, 150 million quid of a spend, which we've seen before with other football clubs at Fulham that haven't worked out. But Cooper is a decent manager. So whilst people will look at him, whenever you have a decent manager doing a decent job in a difficult situation, other people are going to look at him with covetous eyes.
And you would do, Simon, if you say you were still at the top of a club at the moment, elsewhere, he would catch your eye.
Well, of
because
course,
you'd be aware of what he's doing.
How much reality is in this, and how much speculation, how much fear factor, and how much projection of what people think? The bottom line is he signed a new contract with Nottingham Forest. I would expect him to remember the fact that he was given an opportunity with Nottingham Forest. He took it with both hands. He's done a very good job. And now he's been rewarded for it by some loyalty at a time when most football club owners would turn the other cheek and turn away.
Yeah.
So with all that in mind, I would suspect if they can survive this season, which I think they probably will, and the next game coming up is a very important game.
Everton.
It's a defining game, I think, because if they lose to Everton, they get themselves dragged right back into it. And if Everton lose, the questioning about Sean Dyche is going to start coming up a notch or two. So here we are in very, 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 very significant, intriguing times. But
all
I
those
think
players,
Steve Cooper
interesting
is a good
with, all that, with all those players that they bought, Jim, it's still Johnson who's their best player. They bought 30 players, so you look at the quality. Is the quality really good enough to keep them up?
Their home form.
They're ninth in the Premier League with their home form. Their bottom. Away form.
Well, they've scored the least amount of goals for an away side in the entire English football leagues, haven't they? I.e., professional leagues.
Well, Everton are doing pretty well in that area. They've only scored 17 goals all season, Jim.
Which makes the 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday so important for both.
Massive.
Forest up against Everton. Do you think they'll survive, Martin? Forest.
I think we're going to find out in the next 4 or 5 weeks, Jim, because this game itself is defining. If Everton can win this, they go a point behind. And Forest start again looking over their shoulder when it looked like they'd scrambled out of trouble. Their home form is really important for them. They get nothing away from home. So, I mean, if you look at the start of the season, Jim, I think the team that started the first 11, the first game, there's the one that played last week. I think there's about 8 changes and there's 3 person. They've changed the system completely. So you think about that. It's been really difficult for the manager to get the right players on the pitch, the people he can trust in. But from an Everton point of view this weekend, Calvert-Lewin, whatever they're doing with it, he's got to be on the pitch. Without him, I don't see they're going to score the necessary goals, Jim. If they continue as they are, scoring goals the number they are, they're only going to get 26 goals. And no team has ever stayed up with that number of goals.
Mm.
It's that critical for Everton this weekend to start hitting the back of the net.
To go to the Cooper question. There are only certain clubs in the Premier League that are bigger than Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest's achievements are quite remarkable. And I've been at that football club and watched that fan base and seen it at times and seen how focus that fan base can be. And if you're going to put Brighton in the conversation, Nottingham Forest, in my view, and I hate the argument who's a bigger club or who's not a bigger club because it's all subjective, if he's got an owner that's prepared to commit behind him in the same way Tony Bloom was prepared to commit behind Brighton, and Brighton didn't pull up trees in their first seasons in the Premier League, they just stayed up by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If Forest stay up with an owner that's got the ambition he has, having learnt the lessons, they bought a bottom mountain of players. Next year, they'll buy better players, different players, Premier League players that'll be more ready for purpose. Steve Cooper will have a year's worth of experience. They stay up. Nottingham Forest is a very, very good football club to stay at for some significant period of time, by the way.
Sure. And as Greg, I think, is a Forest fan, is pointing out, other clubs might be interested in Cooper, but he hasn't made any noises about looking to leave. Signed a new deal in October and we expect him to stay. He loves it at Forest. I think it's a good match, Sam, to be honest, Martin. I think Cooper and Forrest are a match that could lead to something, that could lead to success further down the line.
I
but
can see,
they need to stay in the Premier League.
Of course they do. Concentrate on your job. I mean, the thing is, the Spurs job now, you look, Conte's contract's up in the summer. You've got David Moyes, the fans, you know, they'll always be discontent by the West Ham fans. I love that little bit of banter with them because they are, they're never happy. You've got Chelsea, Potter. I mean, it's a calamity right now, isn't it? So, you know, are they going to change their manager? And Southampton, again, maybe are they going to climb out of trouble? Maybe they're looking for a new manager. So there are jobs around him. I think
Southampton are going to get relegated. He's not going to go to Chelsea. I think Cooper should
be staying where he is. Yeah. It's just an interesting one I'd like to throw to Simon. Has he got any recollection? I mean, this year we've lost 8 managers already this season out of our 20.
And even being surprised.
I just looked through to see Simon when he was there. Interesting. What surprised me was that Simon was only an owner of a Premier League club for one season out of those 10 years. I was surprised. Yeah. I thought you were a Premier League owner.
Like, it's like all being, way through. It's like being an invincible team and only play 4 games, isn't it?
I actually played 10. And I was 38 years of age at the time, so I'm quite proud of that.
We can all make facetious comments, can't we?
Well, it's a fact. So I'm just looking to see, do you got any recollection of any managers you sacked in that period?
To what end?
Well, it's just interesting. Looking at the list of clubs.
This could descend into a studio. Well, I'm just looking, Jim,
because obviously when this subject came up, I thought I'd try and enlarge it and let's go into different areas and see it. Palace have actually, since the millennium.
Well, enlarge it on the other side of the break. We're coming up to 10:30.
Oh, you're going to stop me now. You're going to protect your partner, are you? Okay, that's okay. We'll come back afterwards.
100% engagement. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Martin, it wouldn't have gone unnoticed on you because this is a big thing for you. Virgil van Dijk has claimed that the amount he's played since recovering from a serious knee injury has now caught up with him. And it affects his form and it affects his fitness. Only 15 players in Europe's top 5 leagues have played more minutes than Virgil has since August 2021 when he returned from the anterior cruciate ligament injury that kept him on the sidelines for 10 months. And of course, he missed the Euros as a result of that. And he goes into this in a fair bit of detail. He said, "This is the life that we live. I'm very happy and blessed, but it's happening for me. To be 6 weeks out and then come back to try and find rhythm and level that's expected of me and I expect from myself, it takes time." Now, you, to be fair to you, have been on and on about this. We need to watch burnout amongst the top players. Is Van Dijk the perfect example of this?
I think it's just what he's doing, Jim, is he's explaining what it's like to come back from injury, isn't he? So he's been out for 6 weeks and it's probably unfair of us to expect him to be back at the same level. I mean, what was commendable was he was out with a really serious injury, Jim. And he comes back from that and he plays, 50-odd games? For, well, 63 matches they played last season, didn't they? Well, there'll be another 10 there for the national team. That's 73 games. Usually there's a rebalance of the body after such a bad injury and you get other niggly injuries. He didn't have that. He went off to the World Cup. And it's probably been a bit relentless in terms of the games. And he's saying now, right, you know, but he's coming back into a difficult situation, Jim, with a team that really does not give him the same level of protection. If you think about last season, how brilliant they were closing the ball down. He's just saying as it is. He's been careful not to go overboard. Obviously, other people in other work, Jim, working very hard and doing what they do. He knows he's in a privileged situation, but he's probably asking for a little bit more time between games. I mean, that's the argument, I think, is that the players are shouting for. Arteta was another one this week saying, well, look, you know, we've got that in Europe now. So when you're playing a late game in midweek, why are we playing an early match on a Saturday morning, something they had to do recently against Aston Villa. So I think it's the number of hours, Jim, number of days between matches is what we need to consider.
But the more successful you are, the more games you're going to play.
Correct. This is the thing that we got at the moment. It's about sitting down, isn't it, and looking at the fixture lists, coming together to try and make it a little bit easier for the players. You want to play in every game. They do. They want to play in every game. He's made that clear as well.
So you don't have a problem about the amount of games, Martin. You just want players to be able to rest longer.
Yeah, I think it's longer. About rest periods between matches and then the number of fixtures. It's about competitions, Jim, as well, isn't it? Do we need to look at the League Cup? We're looking at the FA Cup already to see there's no, you know, going to be no replays at all, perhaps next season. That might come in. The League Cup, Is that going to carry on and function as it does right now? These are all things we have to look at to try and minimise the number of games you're going to have to play in. But look how much the Man United players enjoyed winning the League Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And are seeing that as a pivotal point in their season. So, you know, do you take it away? I don't think we can do that now. It's too ingrained in our system.
I mean, Simon, I know you've your own views on this. Whenever we talk player welfare about this, you are one to take Martin on about it. But, I mean, this study by the Global Footballers Union, FIFPro, said this was a matter of time. Extreme overload is going to take its toll. And they've actually highlighted Van Dijk as an example here. So, I mean, do you go with that? What Martin's saying is not in the number of games. We know they've got to play more and more games, the more successful they are. But rest period has got to be looked at.
Yes, in an ideal world. But no one's come up with a solution how you're going to schedule the season to be able to do that. It's all well and good telling people what you don't want to do. It's much more difficult telling people what the solution is to the problem that you've got, which is fixtures. Now, Virgil van Dijk is probably not the ideal example because he is the one that's put himself available for these games. He's the one that wants to play in these games. Most professional footballers, and we listen to lots of them in varying shapes and guises, talk about a different view to Martin's. You know, talk about the fact that game after game after game was never a concern for them. The more games there is, the better it is. I'm not going to... I mean, FIFPro are like the fan-led review. If you do a fan-led review, you're going to get the views of the fans. If you do FIFPro, they represent the players, you're going to get the views of FIFPro representing the players.
Yeah.
And the players are in this power struggle now with football where there's a balance between the players are the entertainment and the value, but the structure of football is bigger than the players. And without the talent, you don't have the football, but without the football clubs, you don't have the players. So which one becomes more prevalent? And the reasons why there's so much football is because the economics of football have got to such a level that in order to be able to facilitate these ludicrous salaries and ludicrous cost implications of football, you now have to have these inordinate amount of games. And when you read a footballer, and I'm sorry, I don't know if they believe their own words or take themselves that seriously, but when you talk about a footballer that's playing a game a week, 51 games, and playing for their country as well, if that's what they choose to do.
And since when was it a game a week, by the way?
Well, 51 games over 52 weeks is a game a week.
Well, did they not get any kind of holiday?
I hadn't finished.
Yeah.
Right.
Go on then, let's
so
finish
moving
it then.
Moving on to the point where you talk about sacrifices, and you look at the world that we live in, and you look at players getting paid £200,000 a week, which is six times what the average person in this country earns in a year. And I'm not for just making comparisons between someone that goes down a pit or someone that kicks a football, but let's get some bloody context when the word sacrifice is used in conjunction with what people are having to endure being a professional footballer. The balance is you cannot take everything out of the room. All of the money in football, with the exception of every now and again a football club getting sold and someone getting some money back, or in the situation of Chelsea just getting their money back, and expect then as a footballer to say, well, I won't do this and I won't do that. It doesn't work in the real world. It might work in the sort of the world that Martin lives in, but the real world where grown-ups are, where finances become part of the equation, it can't work.
Just to talk about grown-ups, I actually agree with that. For me, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was a love. I loved every minute of it. And if I was remunerated well, then I deserve what I got or what I didn't get. So no problem. I wouldn't use the word sacrifice. No.
Yeah.
For me, it's a love. It's a passion. It's a vocation. It's what I want to do most of all. So that's the only thing I argue with there in that statement.
And to be fair, Martin, Van Dijk himself acknowledges it. He says on the one hand, you got to sacrifice. I'd love to spend time with my family and my kids, but I've got to get treatment every day, make sure I'm eating the right stuff, sleeping, doing the right things. Okay, well, that's what you do. It doesn't sound like much of a hardship to me. But then Virgil then says, that's the life we live. We're very blessed. We're very privileged. And I acknowledge that. But you still have to make these sacrifices, he finishes with. Well, we know that, Virgil. But at the same time, you admit yourselves, and you've just admitted it, Martin. You were happy to make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
You didn't see it as a sacrifice.
I think actually to do it, you have to, and to survive, you have to love it, Jim. You know, you have to live, breathe, eat, sleep, football. I still adhere to that same diet now.
I mean, this is just
that I did as a player.
It's just preposterous
because
nonsense.
it becomes I mean, a way of life.
They go training two hours a day. They have a Wednesday off, right? You're talking about people.
No.
People are talking about people that get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Don't get home until 7 o'clock in the evening. Don't see their kids. And
Simon,
you guys play two games a week. You train for 2 hours a day. You eat nicely. You get your bums wiped every single.
Well,
every
maybe,
5 minutes,
maybe.
And you make sacrifices.
Maybe when
get
you
get over yourselves,
Simon. When you look back, you only had nine. If you're 10 years, you had nine of them in the championship.
I know you want to make that point,
but maybe that's why, because nobody's taking Wednesday off anymore. The week works very differently.
Oh, different day then?
No, it doesn't. There's no day off, in fact.
Oh, really?
There's a Thursday training session. That's
of course
not,
there's a day off.
Martin,
no, there isn't.
Rubbish.
There isn't. There isn't.
That's all rubbish.
So when you come in on the you might get a Sunday off if you're lucky, okay? You come in on the Monday and you're switching the muscles back on.
We're not going to buy this.
You're switching the muscles back on.
The top players
Tuesday,
get time off.
Tuesday
of
you step
do.
Things up. Wednesday's a tough session. Wednesday used to be a day off. Wednesday now is the hardest session of the week. Because they've looked at it and they realised that 2 days before a game, which is invariably the day you come in after a day off, which was Thursday, everyone's going at it. But you're then tired for the match day. So it's built up differently. So the Thursday now is a day when you don't really do much, Jim. Friday is a sharp day. But you're coming in. You're coming into the club. There's no day off.
Leave off, Martin.
There's no day off.
You're coming in for two bleeding hours. What are you babbling about?
You work as hard as you can in the time you've got.
This is not a hardship compared to what normal people have to
experience.
No,
Simon.
We all accept that you're in a rarefied
world. You know that's an easy card. You know that's an easy card. And the lights will flash up on your screens. We're talking about professional footballers. We have to do the best they can. You want to be successful. Do you want to flog them every day? Were you happy to see the players doing 5 hours a day?
No,
it's about winning games on a match day.
Hold on. No one's saying that. Let's peer back what you're saying, right? We're talking about the language that's used by people like you. And we're talking about the language that's used by people like Virgil van Dijk. You don't like the word sacrifice, but you have plenty of other things to talk about in the reality of how hard the footballer's life is and what has to be combined and how it's a labour of love. The bottom line is, it is a wonderful industry to be in. It is a privilege to be in it. The opportunities as a result of it are significant. And it seems to me that all we hear now from footballers is what they haven't got rather than what they have got. And what they want at this moment in time is to be able to tell football what it is they're prepared to do. And I don't find that particularly acceptable. And I think most rational people, nothing to do with bleeding lights lighting up on a switchboard, Martin. It just happens to be a state
of
fact.
Well, I would, if I was still...
Martin, the top players want to play. Of that, there's no doubt. There's a typical
message
coming
in. There's the bottom line.
Jim, I'm listening to you this morning. These guys are top athletes. If Virgil or anybody else feels burnt out, go to the manager and say, you're not up for the next game. I mean, people do recognise, these guys perform at the highest level and the demands are strong, their demands are constant and they're tough. But you know the old phrase, if you can't stand the heat.
Jim, do you know what I would say to that? I would just say, look, if I was still playing, could you make it possible, please, that I could play in every single game? Where was Messi before the World Cup, Jim? Do you think he was playing for PSG? No, he wasn't. He was injured.
But he's 36 years of age, Martin.
I'm just giving you an example. Even Messi, whose record is exemplary in terms of fitness and in terms of being out there.
How many games
he took a period when he was down, injured before the World Cup. So everybody...
He's 36 years of age.
Well, what I'm saying is we need to make it so there's an opportunity for every player to play in every match. Can we just work on the hours between games and give the players some sort of a rest, mental rest as well as physical, in the summer?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
We are returning, albeit briefly, tentatively, in the interest of our own safety, to talk about player welfare as such. And I know I put that in a kind of generalised title, but that's really what it comes down to. Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk is claiming the amount he played since recovering from a serious knee injury has pretty much caught up with him and affected his form and his fitness. And Martin, you would say, well, should there be any surprise to that? And again, to reiterate your point, it's not so much the number of games that are being played,
is the amount of rest period in between those games. That is where you want dialogue between the likes of owners, managers and players.
Yeah, and I think we had some interesting calls there. John, Ryan and Trevor. I mean, obviously Trevor said it all when he said that, you know, life and death is really what it's about when you're fighting for your country and football is only a game.
He was in the military, you know? Yeah.
Although Bill Shankly did famously say, didn't he, that it was as important as life and death.
I'm
in fact,
sure
he said it was far more important than that.
It was, yeah.
Tongue in cheek, of course.
Yeah.
It's interesting. John was saying about lower leagues, about the FA. Need to look at the fixture program for them as well, because they're cramming in so many different fixtures on their calendar. And I think it was Ryan who was talking about a squad system where, based on minutes played on the pitch, that maybe each player or a certain number of players have got to have so many minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work. It just wouldn't be allowed. But yeah, I mean, I think it happens to a certain extent with some of the managers want to try and play only in the very good situations, Jim. We see every time City change their team. So
you are well aware, feedback. Though, Martin, that this is for people who are not top-class footballers, and there are many. This is a sort of argument that you will find yourself paddling upstream without so much as a matchstick, because not many people have got much sympathy for you. There's Jimmy and Keighley. Please tell Martin the most patronising thing you can hear from a footballer or a former footballer is that they have a short career. No, they don't. A month's wages would set most people up for life. And that is the thought of many. Martin,
course,
when they listen to an argument
That's why I think it's a very difficult topic, and I wouldn't necessarily have raised it. I know you enjoy this opportunity, but look, I'm not a current day player, as Simon told me off air. You know, he said that it's not relative anymore. It was 10, 20 years ago. So, but you know, I still have a view that my position, Jim, is that I wanted to play in every single game, and I think the modern day player wants to. I think when you're cocooned in that world a little bit. The money is disproportionate to what the man in the street earns, so they're very, very privileged. I think they realise that, and every player that mentions it, Jim, wants to quickly cover up and say, look, don't get me wrong. But I do feel that it isn't really a sacrifice, because they are in a very privileged. You're blessed
with
that very talent.
He's saying the same thing.
But
we
nonetheless,
feel very blessed and very
nonetheless,
privileged.
Nonetheless, we go to watch football as an enjoyment.
Yeah.
Yeah? We work hard in our jobs. We go and watch the game. It's what the end of the week we do. I don't mean we want to kill that situation. I think we want to see a good spectacle. I think we want the players to be at their best. We want to see Van Dijk on the pitch, don't we?
Of course,
we
want to
make it.
We
want to make it. We want to make it possible for us.
And so do the football club owners, and so do the broadcasters who have put the players in these positions. But when you listen to the fact that people talk about sacrifices, and what you do is you qualify it, Martin, by saying it's a short career. No, it's not. The average career of a footballer is 9 years. The average working career for that's the average career. The average career of a footballer. The only people that complain about the amount of games are the elite footballers. You don't hear this coming out of League One and League Two, the people that are earning a different salary. You hear about it from the elite footballers. They're getting all the benefits of the elite end of the game, which is all the finances, all the care, all the private jets, all the cooks, the chefs, everything that goes with being an elite athlete. When you look into that, and then what you do is you qualify it. You say, well, it's a short career. No, it's not. When we start dealing with facts, we can start having a real argument about whether players need to be looked after better at the top end of the game. But what we do is we muddy the water with silly little tropes like it's a short career.
But Simon, think players at the top end of the game do indeed need to be looked after better?
I think more provisions should
be made for them.
Well, again, you get conflicting messages. I'm not a player, so I can't speak to it. And I don't have a particularly steeped in ideal that they're playing too many or too less. What I look at is the reality of why they are playing so many games.
Yeah.
Why have we got to this point where footballers are playing 60 games a season for their club and playing 10 games for their country? Is that the best use of footballers' time? And then I look at it and go, what do we do about Mikel Arteta? I don't want games on Saturday. Well, tragically, Mikel, is the broadcasters bid for these TV rights, and as a result of that, you get paid £10 million a year for doing your job.
He didn't say that. He didn't want to play a 12:30 game
on Saturday.
But that's
my point. That's what I said.
No, you said he didn't want to play on a Saturday.
Okay, well,
I'm listening carefully.
On Saturday. So with that in mind, what you've got is you've got this never-meet-in-the-middle situation, and again, I keep making the point. You can't take everything from the game, all of the benefits of it, and then not be prepared to trade off the reality of there's a consequence for that.
Yeah.
Every other walk of life, everyone accepts it. It seems
we don't hear many stories of the players' careers who are cut short very quickly. I have a son of my own who's had to finish through his career through injury, Jim. You look at it and say the great stories and how much money everybody earns, there's a hell of a lot of players as well who don't quite make it.
Of course,
one reason or another,
of course.
Whether it be mental
problems
or physical problems.
I think, Andy, the Liverpool fan wants to come in on that line.
Stories.
Andy, good morning. You Liverpool fan, you're most welcome. What do you want to say in this topic?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Virgil van Dijk is talking about prolonging his career to play at the top level as long as possible. And no amount of money is going to change that. If they would say, we'll give you an extra £1 million a week, he's not going to suddenly perform better. His body can only do so much. And, you know, to talk about, put it into context and talking about money and things, your body has a limit, and the amount of money will not change that fact. Regardless of how much they earn, if he can't perform at that level, then he can't perform at that level.
I understand that. Totally, Andy, and thank you for the call. You see, it does split opinion. There's Andy saying, cut Virgil a bit of slack. Money doesn't come into it. The physical demands are such that it gets to the point, if it gets unbearable and intolerable, a player can only do so much and no more. So, Tom, do you agree, Arsenal fan Tom, that it's not a question about bringing money into it? You guys have paid a fortune, so damn well got on with it. Martin would say, no, that's nothing to do with it. We're talking about the physical demands being put on the top players.
Morning, chaps.
Morning, Tom.
On one hand, being a massive football fan, I totally agree with there being pointless competitions introduced for the sake of TV money. You know, the Nations League, a Club World Cup in the winter World Cup. But on the other side, you know, these footballers are creating a problem for themselves. They're ever demanding wages that they want. You know, this is, you know, given by the TV money that is constantly generated by ever-growing matches. So footballers are creating the problem for themselves. If you gave them the opportunity to play half the games at half the salary, you know, they wouldn't take that, would they? Because they want every penny they can get. And with that, they have to then, you know, come up and play the games that are on the calendar, unfortunately.
Yeah. Listen, thank you for that, Tom. There are many messages coming in. The key word in this, Martin, that no one's going with is just the constant use of this word, and you didn't use it, to be fair to you, sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? And Virgil's saying, it's not a sacrifice. We're blessed, we're privileged. And you agree with that. I think when the word sacrifice comes into it, we make a huge sacrifice. That's when other people outside of football will say, come off it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I also feel that if you can do, you need to separate, you know, from separate the player from the financial rewards that he gets, Jim. And that's the thing where people get, they look at with envy, they see what the players earn and they think, hold on, come on, you can play another game, compare with you. We're not trying to do that. We're not comparing with the man in the ordinary man in the street, Jim.
No.
Who has to work 9 till 5 and weekends as well and all the rest of it and overtime and extra time. We're talking about these are professional athletes that just want to play in every single match.
But that's where the top footballers, and Virgil doesn't come into this because he doesn't use the word sacrifice, that's where your argument is crushed, because a member of the public say, yeah, well, all you got to do is look at the hole in the wall and look at your bank balance. And I know money shouldn't come into it, but it inevitably does.
Yeah, well, you just brought that into it, and I've just asked you to separate it from a professional game.
No, but
it's game.
It's almost impossible to separate it, isn't it?
But people
because
go and enjoy
it. Your argument.
But no,
You can't have someone advance your argument for you.
It's not my argument.
Separate what players get paid, because that's not part of it, and only look at what they have to put into the equation and look at what they're doing. Well, we are looking at what we're doing. We're not the ones complaining. They are. We're not the ones, and it's only the elite players. It's not. And by the way, anyone that goes into industry that gets injured knows that when they go in on the way in. So they accept that as part of the conditions of going into an industry. The bottom line is, League One, League Two players, you don't hear this from. You only hear this from the elite guys that have everything given to them.
Mm. Mm. And again, though, I do refer to an article way back in 2011. An overworked Jack Wilshere needs a break, not more games.
And what happened to him? What happened to his career?
And exactly.
Did he have to finish your injury? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it has been going on for a while. But it's one of those topics that very much splits opinion. And that's what we like, because if we all had the same opinion, life would be dull.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll be back on Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes
without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.